Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Go with me, if you will, and you take your seat. Go with me, if you will, into Hebrews, first chapter. Today we're going to be talking about a wonderful subject about how, listen to my words now, how God is never changing. He's always the same. He was the same 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, before the planet was ever made or created. God was there, and he never, ever changes. Now, how wonderful that is to all of us, but it must be a reason that God wants us to see why he never changes. The fact that God never changes, we'll show you and we'll prove it to you by the scripture, but that's great and we can say hallelujah to that, but what does it mean to me? Well, if he never changes, then what he does, what he says, what he means, what his intentions are, what his promises are, never change either. And I can go to the bank, live my life on the fact that my God, who never changes, backs his word. I change all the time. You change all the time. Our world, our society, our systems that we live in change constantly. But our God never changes. And I need to put my heart upon, I need to put my faith in, I need to believe in a God that never changes. I don't want a God that's wishy-washy. I don't want a God that's here today and gone to Maui tomorrow on me. I need a God that I can put my trust in and day out. No, this is the way it is. This is the facts, and his promises become alive to me every single day. So the title of this message is God's Promises That Never Change. And it comes out of the first chapter of Hebrews, starting in verse number 10, as you see God himself who never changes. Let's take a look at it together. I'll read read along with me if you have your Bible, and you should be carrying your Bible. Verse number 10, it says, "And you, Lord, in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands." Verse number 11, "And they will perish, but you remain. And they will all grow old like a garment." Verse number 12, "like a cloak that you will fold them up, and they will be changed, but you are the same, and your years will not fail." Now with that, you say, that's great that God's that way, but it means something to all of us. His word that he spoke 1,000 years ago, is the exact same word that he speaks today. He backs it as solid as he did then, now. That means I can live my life on a God that is secure and stable and being around. The world is going to change, but my God doesn't change, and his promises never change. Listen quickly to the word of the Lord. Psalms 102, verse number 27. "But you are the same, and your years will have no end." And Malachi 3 and 6, the word of God says, "For I am the Lord, and I do not change." In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, in verse number 8, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. In James, the first chapter, verse 17 says these words, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights." At that place, we could all shout hallelujah. But if it comes down from the Father of lights, the next words, he's describing who he is and the very character of him. "With whom there is no variance or shadow of turning." Well, once you get it settled in your heart that your God is stable, once you get it settled in your heart that your God is not changing, once you get it settled in your heart that God's word is the way it is and God's promises last, then the only thing that's left is for you and I to find out about the promises of God, because his promises are very important that never change also. Now, there are hundreds of promises of God in the word of God. They are conditional promises. One thing about you'll find in the word of God, when I say conditional promises, you need to understand what that means. That means in order for the promise that God gives you to come to pass, you're going to have to do something. In other words, you couldn't even get salvation until you gave him your heart. The condition was you had to give him your heart and life in order to receive salvation. There's a condition to the promises. God makes a promise if this is the way you are. And there are special promises to the obedient. Now, we could have a 200-part series on the promises of God. But I don't think you want a 200-part series. But it's a great study for every one of us that are in here just to start to learn the promises of God in healing, the promises of God for your marriage, the promises of God for your children, the promises of God for your business, the promises of God for life and love and peace and joy and harmony and all the restoration. There's a promise from God for you. But oftentimes you're not going to get it. Most people think we're going to get it like some magical golden duck is going to fly over and drop some promises on us. It doesn't happen that way. No one's going to come like a tooth fairy and wave a magic wand over your life and you receive the promises. You're going to have to get in and do something. Now, here's the problem. A lot of people don't want to do that. A lot of people just want the blessings, and guess what? They don't want to work for them. And I want you to know something. If you want to be blessed, you're going to have to do something to get the blessings. You're going to have to get out of yourself and do something that God would have you to do. So I thought what we'd do today is take about five little promises that mean something to all of us, and let's look at them. You know why? Because our God never changes, and His promises never change. So let's look at the word of the Lord together today. Unfailing, and I love this. I love the word unfailing promises to the obedient. Did you know that God is looking for somebody to be obedient? Obedient to His word. Obedient to His way. Obedient to His will. We're obedient all the time to our own feelings. We're obedient to the society or social system. We're going to be obedient in the next few weeks as we put our tax reports into the government. We work hard. We get out of bed. We go to work. We're on time. We're obedient to a lot of things during the days. We eat lunch at a certain time. We learn and study our businesses. For those of you that are in school, you're obedient in doing the work that you need to follow up on your education. But guess what? I'm here to tell you something. There's an obedience that is required by God. And when there's an obedience required by God, there's a blessing that follows it. And I don't know about you, but I want, and so do you deep down inside, you want the blessings of the Lord. I'm going to say it again because some of you didn't hear me. You want the blessings of the Lord. May I say it one more time because you didn't really hear me? You want the blessings of the Lord. Listen, one more time. You want, and you know you want, the blessings of the Lord. Well, they don't come because you're pretty. They don't come because you're smart. They don't come because you're rich. They don't come because, you know, you're this or that. They come because you're obedient to what God's will and ways are. And that isn't easy to a very independent people, but it's the way it is. And when you start to flow in what God has, He'll start to give you what He has. And that's simply the way it works. So we're talking about unfailing promises. Why are they unfailing? Because our God, He never changes. We just read that. Here's number one, life without end. Now, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about when I say that. I'm not just talking about eternal life. That's fine, and we all know about that. You're just going to keep on living and living and living. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about life without end generationally. Now, listen to me for what I'm going to say to you. Life without end generationally means because I serve God today, I will see the blessings not only in my life, but my children and my children's children's life. A lot of times we're so self-centered. Sometimes we're so selfish. We only think about ourselves serving God for our own personal benefit. But God says there's life without end. In other words, the very offsprings are going to serve God. The very offsprings are going to find their fulfillment and love of God, and them and after them. So sometimes we need to just get out of ourselves and realize that God is a God of generations, that God really wants not only to bless you, and we'll talk about that in a moment right here and now, but He really wants, because you love God, because you serve God, He wants to bless the generations that follow you and the children of the children of the children that will come from your loin. God wants to bless you. And that's what I mean by life without end. Let's take a look at this, if you will. Let's do a little Old Testament fun today. And let's go into 1 Kings, if you will, in the 11th chapter of 1 Kings. in 1 Kings, the 11th chapter. Let's take a look at it together in verse number 38. It says this, "And then it shall be that if you heed all I command you." I love this word, if. Notice how I highlighted the word if. Sometimes we read our Bibles and we say, oh, here's a blessing of God. But I want you to notice all, if you will, the conditions to the blessings. The conditions to the blessings. If you heed. The word if means it's pivotal. That means you can either serve him or not serve him. You can do it or not do it. It's your call, your choice. I love the people that say, oh God, make me do it. You never want to pray, make me do it. He has ways of making you do things. You don't want to get into those ways. But here it says these words, if you heed all that I command you, walk in my ways and do what is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, not talking about 10 commandments, talking about the word of God, as my servant David did. I love this next part of this. It says, then. Everybody say then. Amen. See, now, in other words, there's a condition, and now here comes a blessing. I will be with you, and I love that part. Don't you love the presence of God? Where there's presence of God, there's life. Listen to this. I will be with you and build for you an enduring house. Circle the words enduring house. That means he's describing a house that keeps on going, the house of God. In other words, he's talking about generational blessings. As I built for David. Did you know that David's offsprings throughout time were the ones that were blessed because of David's activities? Listen to this. Listen to this. The Messiah, Jesus, is in the bloodline of David. Come on now, we're talking about offsprings. So when God makes a statement to us, he makes a promise to us, it's as good then as it is today because he is a non-changing God and it's life without end. We're talking about unfailing promises to the obedient. Here's the second thing. If you're going to give me a generational blessing for all my family that's coming after me, I also, while I'm here now, presently need a good life. So here's number two, good life. God wants to make your life good. Did you know that there is a good life waiting for you? Oh yeah, there is. God cares about your life here on the planet. Now a lot of people, even Christians, never experience a good life. Here's why. Because they're waiting for God to do something instead of what? Doing something, applying the condition in order to get the promise and blessings of God. If there's a good life waiting, then God, I want it. If I asked you if you wanted a good life, you would say, yes, absolutely. I want that good life. It's going to cost you something in order to get it. Let's take a look, if you will. Again, Old Testament. Have some fun with me and go with me to the Old Testament. Let's look at Isaiah, the first chapter, verse number 19. Verse number 19 says, if you are willing and obedient. Oh, wait a minute. I want the good life, but I don't want to be willing, nor do I want to be obedient. I want to follow what my flesh is. I want to do it my way. I want to think about my life. It's about me. This is about me. And let me tell you something, guys. It's not just about you. God wants you to have a good life. If you've never heard that before, you need to hear it. God wants you to have a good life. But in order for it to happen, it says this. If, you see the word if there? The biggest little word in the Bible. If. And there's a whole lot of people that have ifs in their life, but never go through with it. They do it their way. If you are willing, that means I really want to serve God, and obedient, I'll follow what God says, not what I feel. You shall eat of the good of the land. You know what that means? Translated means it's a good life. Eating of the good of the land. If I asked you how many of you would love to eat of the good of the land or have a good life, you'd all raise your hands. But you see, that is an option because of that word if there. It doesn't just happen. You want it to happen, but it doesn't just happen. Listen to me again. You want it to happen, but it doesn't just happen. Somebody needs to love you enough, respect you enough, honor you enough to tell you how it is. I wish I could wave this magic wand over you and all your life would be perfect. It doesn't work that way. You're going to have to get in and be willing and obedient. And if you don't, you're going to get screwed over. Now that's San Bernardino for Hebrew. That means you're not going to make it. Watch verse 20. But if you refuse and rebel, brain dead, sit there, treat God as common, he's not important, be no value, keep showing up late to church all the time, thinking God doesn't see that, you gotta be kidding me. Listen to me, I love you enough to get in your face. You know why? Because I wanted somebody to get in my face. And I remember when I was hurting, I went to a pastor of a church and he sat there with his cigarettes drinking a cocktail telling me how to live life when I was trying to get off of it. Somebody needs to tell you that loves you enough, man, if you are willing and obedient, but if you're not, man, you're going to get it. And it's your call. You can't blame God. You can't come along and say, God, you really let me down. I tried. Let me tell you something. You don't try with God. You do with God. And there's a difference between trying and doing. Is anybody listening? I can't baby you. These are last days and I can't baby you. I can't just tickle your ears so you come and sit and give us money. That's not what this is about. This is about your eternal souls and somebody needs to tell you the truth. You shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken, and what he spoke then is as good today. Whether it's promises or you're going to get it. Is anybody listening? It's your call. We're talking about unfailing promises to the obedient. And I love this one. Listen to this promise. Number three, prosperity and long life. God, who never changes, promises you prosperity and long life. You know you want prosperity. You know you want things to go well. But let me define prosperity. Prosperity is not just money in your pocket, even though it's nice. Prosperity is when you're in love and you're old like me and Deborah and more in love today than ever before. Prosperity is when your kids are serving God. Prosperity is when you look at your grandchildren, they're 5 years old and they're in front of a mirror practicing preaching. And when your six-year-old corrects you. What is that all about? Shut up, you're only six. How do you know how I'm supposed to be? That's prosperity. Prosperity is when you know life is fulfilled. And you're settled at peace, whatever. You're no longer striving, wondering, worrying. That's prosperity, guys. Prosperity is when you're fully content and life is good and you know your God is faithful. That's prosperity. Prosperity is when the rest of the world shakes and the economic systems collapse and politicians are shown up to be liars and thieves and crooks. And yet you don't mind because you got God who meets all of your needs according to his riches and glory. That's prosperity. Prosperity is when you worship God and you look to your left or right and there's your children worshiping God. That's prosperity. Is anybody listening? And God wants to prosper your life. But he doesn't want to just prosper you for a week or two. I love the long life part. Now, I don't give a flip. I've already lived a long life. I'm ready to go be with Jesus anytime he wants me to be with Jesus. And I'm not copping out. I'm just in love with him that I don't care about living here for a long time. I want to be with him more than anything else, to be honest with you. I'm here because I love you. I'm here because I love him. I'm here because he wants me to be here for the people of God who want to come and hear what he has to say. Wasn't for that, I'm ready to get out of this place. But if I'm going to live here, I want to live here prosperous and I want to have long life and do the job. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. In Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, verse number 40 says these words. Let's just pop it up on the overhead. It says, and you shall therefore keep these commandments and his, now listen, commandments, which I command you today, that it That, in other words, here's it, once you keep the commandments, that it may go well with you. See the words go well with you? Prosperous life. In every area of prosperity. And with your children after you. Give me the next part of that verse. And it says this, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord God has given you for all times. So all of a sudden, guys, here's the cool thing about this. The really, really cool thing about this is God doesn't want to just give you a good life. He wants to give you a long, good life that's prosperous. Oh, man, I like that. And the life that you love him for is a life that goes to the generations that follow you. How much is that worth to you? Which brings us, if you will, and I kind of like this one, number four, unfailing promises to the obedient. I like this. Are you ready? Breaking of family curses. Many of you live like you live, do what you do, say what you say, and are screwed up like you are screwed up, and you know you're screwed up, and somebody ought to tell you you know it, and you know it yourself, is all because of somebody in your family that would not serve God. And that's a shock. And it goes from generation to generation to generation to generation. And all of us said at one time, I don't want to be like my parents. I'm not going to be like my parents. And all of a sudden we grow up, look like our parents, talk like our parents, act like our parents, and we hate it. Then your kids grow up and they say, I'm not going to be like my parents. It was really interesting. My kids grew up and said, we want to be like you. It was like a shock to me because I'd never heard that before. Why? Because a generational curses have been broken. Whew. It's a promise from God that you don't have to be what someone else used to be. Have you ever thought about some of the hang-ups that you have right now? The insecurities that you have now? The addictions you have now came from four or five generations ago that you don't even know and you think it's yours? In other words, you might know the last generation. You might know even two generations. You remember grandma. But before that, you don't know the third and fourth and fifth generation that passed along some of the stuff that you and I feel all the time. Did you know with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and the promises of God activated in your life, you can break those family curses? You say, Pastor, you've just gotten too weird. It's true. I love what it says in Exodus, the 20th chapter. And it's so important that you see this. Exodus, the 20th chapter. Let's take a look at it together. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, look at verses 5 and verses number 6 with me as you look at the word of the Lord. He's telling them to stay away from ungodliness. Here's God speaking to the people. You got to get away from the stuff that's contrary to my will and my way. That ought to be the same cry to every one of us today. You got to get away from the stuff that's contrary to my will and my way. Listen to me again. You got to get away from the stuff that's contrary to my will and my way. You're going to have to make some choices. Get away from the stuff that's bad. Get away from the stuff that's ungodly. Get away from it. And that's what God is saying to the people. Because listen to what he says in verse number 5. And you shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation to those who hate me. Here's the bottom line. He's visiting the sins of the parents that went to the third and fourth generations. Many of you don't even know why you feel the way you feel. Many of you don't know why you have the hang-ups that you have. Deal with the issues over and over again you seem to not get free of. But here's a promise from God that says the iniquities of the last generation that caused you to be what you are can be changed by the things of God. Because when you go to the next verse, it starts off with this great word, but. I love the word, but. He's visiting the iniquities, the sins, the rebellious ways of your parents to the third and fourth generation that you have picked up yourself. But there's hope. Showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandment. You want the mercy of God instead of the cursing of God? Here's how. You got to love him and keep his word. And now you no longer are like your parents. It's really weird. And then if your parents are ungodly, they want to be like you. And so do your brothers and sisters, aunts and uncles. And after a long time, when they finally realize you're serious about this and there really is changes and you have your head on straight, even though they don't, then they come and ask you. And you can say the same thing to them. Here's how it works. I got into God. God washed me clean and therefore set me free. And I don't have to do that junk anymore. I got a new family. Ooh, that's good. So what we're talking about today is unfailing promises. Number one, life without end to the generations. Number two, a good life. Number three, a prosperity. Long life. Number four, the breaking of family curses. Can I give you just one more? It's a promise out of the New Testament this time. I love this. Unfailing promises to the obedient. Here it is. Here's number five. He's coming for you and for me. There's a promise that God's coming again and the eastern sky will split. And I don't care what the world does and what it doesn't do, whether it's right or wrong. I don't care about how it's going to work, how it's not going to work. Jesus Christ is coming to get us. And that's a promise. And every day I live in a world that looks like it's failing. Every day I live in a world of pressure and trial. Every day I work in a world that systems are failing. Every day things are happening that are completely bizarre to my thinking. But I'm here to tell you, I got my eyes fixed on the King of Glory. The eastern sky is going to split. And the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's coming for you and he's coming for me. If you're born of the Spirit of God. If you're not, you're going to hell. Someone needs to tell you that. I like what it says. Peter, why don't you turn there with me? 2 Peter, the third chapter. Here's the promise. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. I don't know if you know what that means, but it means that you won't know when he's coming. Like a thief comes at night when you're not expecting him. When you didn't think he was coming. Today might be that day we're not expecting him. We don't think he's coming. But like a thief in the night, we didn't know he was coming. If I knew the thief was coming, I'd sit up all night and wait for him. If I knew someone's going to break into my house, I would pull out my 38 and my Bible. I would shoot them and then pray for them. Because I knew they were coming. Are you listening to me? I knew they were coming. But here comes the promise that Jesus is coming. And you will not know when it's going to happen. It's just going to come like a thief in the night. He says, in which the heavens will pass away, promise, and a great noise and the elements and melt the fervent heat, and both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. You talk about global warming. That's it. But verse number 11 says these words, starts off with the word therefore. I should have highlighted the word therefore. In other words, because of what I just said in verse number 10. Since all of these things have to be resolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness. If what you just heard is true, then how should we really act and be with God? It starts by you respecting Him, reverencing Him, being in awe about who He is. The beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. It starts when you realize that He is a never-changing God. Don't try to change Him. You can't change Him. You can only change yourself. A never-changing God. And today, five things He's spoken to us about His never-changing promises that are unfailing. Life without end. Generations after you are counting on what you do with God today. A good life, not just a bad life, but a one that you partake of the goodness of God in every area. A life of prosperity, number three, and a long life. And number four, we learn a breaking of those family curses. I don't have to be this way. I can be what God wants me to be. He has truly and totally set me free. And number five, He's coming for you, and He's coming for me, and we ought to give Him a great big shout. Let it be now, O Lord, come. Maranatha. Come quick, O Lord. We're ready. Some of you aren't. We're going to make sure you are before you leave this place. But is that a good word?
Yes.
Did you get something out of that today?
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.